You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users out there. Welcome to the season finale of The Mandifetso. I'm Ian, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello.
We know that this episode is getting out to you super late after the finale, but Chris left me on my own. She abandoned me, but it's okay because she went to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
That's sorry, but you know, that happened.
And I never wanted to leave, and they had to drag me kicking and screaming away.
Yes. So she went to Galaxy's Edge, and we're back.
And we're back. Look, it was the holidays, guys. Stuff happened, all right? People got sick. Traveling was had. We lit some menorahs.
Stuff menorahs happened. Were lit, yes.
Menorahs true. Were lit. Trees were trimmed. Not in a sexual way.
I wasn't thinking in a sexual way, but sure, okay.
Sure.
Is that a sexual, like, thing, saying I'm gonna get my tree trimmed?
Oh my god, yeah. How do you not know Christmas sexual innuendos?
I don't really, okay.
Child. Well, okay. Anywho.
Sure. So, like I said, this is the season finale of The Mandifetso. We are back again. And of course, they have already announced season two. The premiere day is going to be late 2020. So I'm going to assume, like, the same kind of time, October, November of next year.
Interesting. So we don't even have to wait a whole year.
I know. It's great.
Cool beans.
Because Jon Favreau tweeted out a picture of a maquette of a Gamorrean guard. And he was shirtless. He had them Gamorrean titties out, so.
Oh, those titties, though, yeah.
And they were bright green.
Dear God.
So we're going to be seeing, obviously, a Gamorrean guard of some sort in season two, which is going to be very, very cool to see.
Oh my god, what if we get Hutts?
I would like to see maybe a hut or two and see what happens.
I want some Hutts in season two. That would be amazing. Yeah,
Jabba wasn't the only hut. We gotta remember that. Jabba was not the only one.
No. Okay, but I could see a hut being like, bring me the little one, I want to eat it.
It looks like a frog, I want to nom on it.
It looks like a frog, I want to eat it.
But yeah, so if you didn't hear in the first part, Chris was at Galaxy's Edge. That's why she also could not sadly be a part of the Rise of Skywalker review.
Well, that was that was partly a family emergency, but the tickets we had, the tickets we had were literally for the night before I left for LA. So,
but
stuff happened.
Thankfully, yeah. Derek and Ryan from the Screen Heroes came in and substituted in, and we are very, very thankful for that. But don't worry, I will for sure pick Chris's brain on the Rise of Skywalker stuff, so it's not. Her opinion and her thoughts are not going to be unheard on the show. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about Galaxy's Edge. We got stuff coming.
Did you bring me back, like, the whole entire park as a Christmas gift?
My God, I tried. Everything is so expensive. Okay, I didn't spend. But my significant other bought me. And by me, I meant he bought himself, and then I took it. A beanie, and it was $30.
Bye.
And like, it literally is just a black beanie with a yellow and black poof ball, and it says Star Wars. It's beautiful though, and it's very nice. It's very quality.
Well, but you, if the house ever burns down, you grab that beanie for sure.
It's on the way out, so yeah. I mean, good. It's cold outside. I'm gonna grab my beanie, sure.
But so obviously you guys are here to talk about, or rather listen to us, talk about the, Mandalorian episodes 6, 7, and 8. We're going to be going through like we did last time with, 3, 4, and 5, talking about the episodes, you know, what we didn't like, what we did like, some of the characters, plot points, all that good stuff. And then obviously we'll be wrapping it up with the season finale. So without further ado, let's jump in. Chapter six. I'm so sorry.
The prisoner, isn't that right? It's the prisoner.
Prisoner, or prisoner something. Yes, the prisoner.
Yep.
So we get introduced to a slew of great characters, and some that we had questions on.
Some questionable characters. Yep.
You want to take it away?
This episode has been critiqued for not moving the plot in any way whatsoever. And I think that's okay. It literally didn't. It was a totally a side quest episode. And that's fine. I think that's fine. I don't feel like it took away from the series as a whole, even though we only got 8 episodes. You know, it built onto the character of the Mandalorian. It built onto the world building. You know, it was interesting. We learned stuff. Also, we saw stuff.
It brings in characters that maybe we'll see in season 2 as well. It's not just, you know.
Exactly. There will probably be some callbacks.
I think some seeds were planted with this episode. Yeah.
It's interesting. So it was basically like a heist. It was like Mandalorian meets Ocean's 6 or however many of them there were.
Okay, I can see that.
Right? It felt that way to me. It felt like Rick and Morty, you son of a bitch, I'm in, kind of episode.
Okay. We're Rick and Mortying it up in here, currently. Okay.
That is a very pertinent episode from the last season, and I'm just saying.
Well, I never seen Rick and Morty because I have standards in class.
If you were a Rick and Morty fan, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't like Rick and Morty.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to.
I know. So
it's
basically,
great to listen to with a beer. What am I saying? I don't know.
Well, so the Mandalorian, he like finds this old gang that he used to be a part of, and you get a slew of people, and it's a 5-man job that it needs to be done for securing this cargo. They don't know what the cargo is yet.
Don't know what the cargo is.
Well, he doesn't know what it is. They do, but they won't tell him, obviously. So you have an ex.
Because that's always a good sign.
Yeah, right. You have an ex Imperial sharpshooter named Mayfield. You have a Deveronian strongman, I guess is what you would call him.
Guys are fantastic. That was a good callback. Good callback.
You have a droid pilot named Q9-O. So Q, I think they call him what? Q9 or QO? Or I can't remember what they call him.
Was it QO? I feel like that's right. I don't know. I don't know. Then, but we all know how much, you know. We all know how much Mando loves droids. So.
Yes, and we have and I can't believe I'm saying this.
Oof.
A questionable Twi'lek named Zan.
Questionable.
Now, here's the thing. Everyone who listens to this knows I love Twi'leks.
We both have like a Twi'lek thing.
Yes, I've dressed up as a Twi'lek. I'm doing a Twi'lek again for celebration. Like it's, you know, I love the Twi'leks. That being said,
okay, so we were all super hyped for this Twi'lek.
We were.
Because we ever got was just like a quick view of a female Twi'lek in the previews, and everybody was like, oh my god, it's a Twi'lek. This is gonna be awesome because Twi'leks are awesome.
Yes.
Are they?
We still hold that opinion.
Are they?
When done correctly, they are.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
So anywho.
So the Twi'lek, I should also say, is played by Natalia Tena? I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her last name. But she played Tonks in Harry Potter.
Yeah. And so I love Tonks, but...
And she also played the Wildling in Game of Thrones. So...
And both of those other characters I absolutely adore. And this one was... a choice.
Yes. And she's a knife master. She doesn't have any blasters with her. And I will say that her knife skills and the fighting skills that they had for her was very cool.
Yeah, no, there was definitely some very cool elements of this character.
Should we just start picking it apart now? Because we're already on her.
Oh my god.
Should
oh my god. Start? Okay. Yeah. But well, yeah, but part of my
remember,
part of the critique
by saying we like Twi'leks. We still you know, but yeah.
Okay, well, part of the critique has to jump into the rest of the episode, though.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a critique, real quick, her Liku.
Go ahead. Yeah, ooh.
So here's the thing. Her Liku are patterned after Hera's Liku, the size and the shape of them. And that works fine, I think, in, like, an animated setting. But when you bring into live action, and the same thing can be said for, like, the cosplayers and stuff like that, it just looks kind of weird.
It did. It looked very... I don't know. There was just something kind of uncanny. I love the color
that
they picked
for, because it's the same color that I am, basically, when I'm a Twi'lek. So I'm like, eh, yeah. That's me!
Lavender.
But it... I just didn't like how they looked on her, personally. Maybe it's because they didn't have the ear cones. She had actual, like, human ears with it. So I don't know if she, like...
I feel like it's because of the ear cones being gone. And the... Yeah.
It will...
threw it off to me.
Like, for example, Linmi, who is the white Twi'lek in the special edition for Jabba's Palace, the dance sequence, she does not have ear cones.
You're right, and she looks fine.
I think it's the Liku with themselves.
Yeah. There's just something about it.
Like, traditionally, the Liku go, like, straight back, but hers, and, like, with Hera, they kind of come to the side and curve out.
I need to bring up a picture.
It looks great on the animated, like, show, but it just doesn't translate well, I think, personally, live action, but like I said, that's just me. I don't know if I'm, like, a Twi'lek snob or not, but...
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well... And we all know you'll find out my opinions on why.
Oh, well, that's also true.
Why we can be snobby about this particular Twi'lek.
But she's also, we find out she's the former lover of the Mandalorian, so, you know, they got some chemistry.
So, again, questions.
Yes. You have Bill Burr as Mayfield, who is a former Imperial sharpshooter. And then you have Richard Ayoade as the voice of Q9. They call him Zero. That's who they call him.
Oh, yeah.
And for those who don't know that name, he's Moss on the IT Crowd. And the IT Crowd is a freaking hilarious show, and you all need to go watch it. It's on Netflix, and it's the best thing. And then rounding out the gang, they have Clancy Brown as Berg, who's the Deveronian. And if that name sounds familiar, he's been doing quite a few Star Wars things. Most notably, he is the voice of Savage Opress. And he also voiced one of the a character in Rebels in the later seasons. But I knew him growing up as the Lex Luthor in the Superman animated series in the 90s. And he also voices Mr. Krabs.
I didn't realize that. SpongeBob. That's interesting.
So you got Mr. Krabs and
storied pass.
And yes, and Berg. But I saw his face, I'm like, that face kind of looks familiar. And then I heard his voice, I'm like, that voice very much sounds familiar. So that's the crew, and they go on to this New Republic prison transport that is all basically guarded, I guess is the word, by droids, so there's no quote-unquote, like, you know, human casualties.
Yeah.
Except for one.
So they say.
So take us through them going actually into the ship and doing their stuff.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy this episode. It is the only episode of The Mandalorian that I only watched once. Every single other episode I've seen at least 3 times. So it's not so much that it's forgettable, it's just that I forgot a lot of it.
It's so okay.
I mean, okay, so they're going, so they get onto the ship and basically did they have a homing device or something? I don't know. They have some intel about where who they are looking for is, right?
They know the cell number or something like that.
Yeah. So they go to the cell, and they open the cell, and who's in the cell?
Zan's brother.
It's another Ooh. Twi'lek, and it is like a mean-ass looking Twi'lek. Yeah.
He doesn't bother me as much as she did. But he still bothered me quite a bit.
He looks like if a Twi'lek and a Klingon
Ooh.
had a baby, it might be this guy.
Interesting take on it.
Yeah, he's got like really prominent facial features and like really kind of wrinkly and bumpy, and it's weird because she's very smooth.
Yes, and normally the men do have the bumps, but
not just like the bumps. Like he's just
textured. Seen some action.
He's very textured. He's seen some action.
You didn't call him with texture. Wait a minute.
His face has a lot of texture.
Oh, that's funny. How do you describe that man? I describe him as textured.
Textured? He's textured.
Oh, that's funny. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real funny.
So they both have, this is really interesting, is that they both have fangs. And if you're into the Twi'leks, you don't see that on the women. You don't see that on female Twi'leks.
No, the men you do, but the females
the
you
men
do
you do. It's supposed to be only a male thing. And so I looked into this a little more, and it's apparently, like, they file them down that way? Like, it's just a guy thing? So there's no reason why a female Twi'lek couldn't have them, she could just also file them down.
But then, do your what you think she could be.
Oh, wait, no, but hold on, still in this. Okay, so, on my weird reading reviews and whatnot, there's a few people throwing around that because she has fang teeth, and that's only a male Twi'lek thing, here, get this, people are saying, and she doesn't have the cones, she's the first trans character. Did you see this?
I would be so happy with that.
I mean, that's totally, I think, out of the ballpark of anything that is actually going on with this character, but it's an interesting take.
I'm here for it.
It's an interesting take.
I'm not gonna dispute it. I'm here for it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody, I could see Natalia Tena going for something along that route. I could see that. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's an interesting theory.
I'm very okay with that theory. I'm not going to dispute it. I like it.
Interesting theory.
Mention this episode has a bunch of cameos. And the first cameo that we get is of a rebel security guard. He's played by Matt Lanter. And Matt Lanter voices Anakin in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And so it was great to see him, you know, in this series, and he does die. Zan knifes him.
Yeah, sadly.
So basically, you know, everyone kind of fights for, you know, oh, I'm better at this. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I'm gonna do this. The whole thing's a shit show.
It's, yeah, stuff happens.
Yeah, like a typical, as my like a favorite saying is, thing, you know, egos happens. Are
egos
challenged.
Clash.
And, yes.
Yeah. But okay, so my theory as to why these particular Twi'lek are so weird.
Oh, this is your other theory.
Right. So they have this weird accent. They look weird. They act weird. So I think that these are just the Deep Hills inbred Southern hillbilly version of the Twi'leks.
When you texted me that, I was cackling, laughing. No.
This is what happens when your Twi'lek family never leaves its homestead, and they just keep.
I love it. It's so
you
so
get you
funny.
Get these two. You get these two.
Oh, what a treat! We have our first hillbilly hick.
Hillbilly hick Twi'leks. That's what you get.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. We're probably going to get so much hate for that, but I don't care. So, meanwhile, while all this is happening, Zero, who is the droid pilot on this mission, he discovers little baby Uter.
Baby Uter, yep.
And, you know, he's like, what is this? And so, all while this is happening, they also, you know, the Mandalorian is tricked into going, or not going to sound like he's tricked, and they throw him into a cell, and they're like, peace out, we got our cargo, bye-bye.
Yeah, because, like, well, like, apparently the reason that
cross and
the
everything.
Guy got captured was because of the Mandalorian. Am I remembering that correctly?
I,
that,
don't know if they actually say why he got captured. I cannot remember.
I felt like maybe he got left behind because of a call the Mando made. But
like
maybe
you, I only watched episode once.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's not a bad episode. Like, I just had...
No, it's a very fun and plot, exciting episode.
So I didn't feel like I needed to watch it again.
Exactly. So while all this is happening, like I said, he gets tricked. He's in a cell. He tries to... He, you know, eventually gets himself free. He fights his way back to his ship, takes out Zero before Zero can basically either report in or capture Baby Yoda. He throws everyone else into a cell as well after he defeats them all. He doesn't kill them. He, like we said before, like we think that these characters might come back in a future episode.
He's so, also the Batman of the Star Wars universe, apparently.
Well, if he's Batman, then Zan's fucking Harley Quinn.
Right?
We should also mention that she hisses at everyone, too.
Yeah.
We've never seen a female Twilight like hiss at people.
Hillbillies. Crazy ass hillbillies. I'm telling you.
Like we said, we love Twi'leks, but she was just a different one.
Yeah. Too and special.
She was she was just a little special Twi'lek.
Yep.
So the whole crew was just nuts, but she was particularly just like super just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like she would be like, she's like in your face hissing with a knife, like pointing to your gullet and like licks her fangs and then just like trots off.
Yeah.
She's Harley Quinn.
You know, I mean, apparently Mando likes him crazy.
Yeah, well, so also, basically,
I'm guessing he, from what I gather, has sex with his helmet on.
Oh. Oh, we didn't think about that.
She's never seen his face. And they...
Can we talk about the line where Bill Burr's character thinks he's a Gungan? He goes, "You saw ugly under there," or whatever. And it's the funniest
fantastic.
Thing.
Yes.
They had some great lines in this. Like, yes. They had some really, really great line. Like, he also said, like, there was someone, I think someone said, like, "What's an Imperial sharpshooter doing here?" He goes, "We're not all bad shots," or something like that. It was very funny.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, it wraps up with the Mandalorian, you know, grabbing the distress beacon that was activated while they were on the ship to alert the New Republic of, "Hey, something shady is going on here. Come help us."
Yep.
So
outsmarts everybody.
He grabs
they
that.
They get captured.
And he throws it basically onto the body of the Twi'lek brother. I can't remember his name, honestly. I'm so sorry, but
ugly ass Twi'lek guy.
Hick 2, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
And so they're like, "What's that?" And so the Mandalorian, you know, zooms away, and out pop 3 X-Wings, which I love seeing those ships, by the way.
That was pretty great.
But also, those 3 X-Wings hold our 3 cameos for the episode, and that is Dave Filoni, Deborah Chow, and Rick, I cannot say his last name for the life of me, I'm so sorry, but he's the one who directed this episode.
Oh, right.
So it's the 3 directors. So basically, they leave, and he hyperspaces away, and that's the end of the episode. The end.
I mean, kind of.
Well. My whole thing is, he's a really, like, bad parent.
Oh my goodness, stop leaving your child alone in the car.
Right? Like,
I'm gonna call space CPS.
The whole entire time, and especially during the one scenes in the season finale, I'm like, I'm calling CPS. And
calling space CPS.
We're going to get to that scene, you know, in a little bit. But I'm like, dude, why are you like, I'm like, I get you can't just like drop him off somewhere, but, you know, still.
He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing.
Maybe not go on these dangerous missions while you have a child with you.
This is probably, sorry. Excuse me, start of the room. This is probably how the Mandalorians raised him. Like, this is how they do it on Mandalore. They just leave their kids wherever, and they're like, "Well, if they survive, then good for them.
We'll take another one. It's fine." that's really funny. But yeah, I'm like, this man is getting no Father of the Year awards. He's just not. Sorry.
He's simultaneously the best dad and the worst dad.
Exactly. And that's a very hard thing to do, but damn it, he does it so well.
Yeah.
So moving on from episode 6, we have episode, or I guess chapter. I keep calling them episodes. That's not what they're called. They're called chapters.
Well, it's an episode. But it's called a chapter.
Chapters.
Whatever.
We have chapter 7, which is called The Reckoning.
Moving back to the plot.
Finally.
Finally back to the plot.
This one is directed by Deborah Chow, who, like we said previously, is directing the Obi-Wan series. So, you know, pay attention to her episodes, especially because you're going to see a lot of her stuff, you know, come through for the Obi-Wan series.
I think some of her episodes have been the best episodes.
Personally. I agree. So did you at least watch this one more than once?
I think I watched this one 3 times.
Okay, so I will let you take it away then.
And yet I'm blanking on what.
Oh no.
Wait, okay. This is, oh, so we're,
it's one where it goes back to the planet.
So we're going back. Yeah. Yeah. This is like greatest hits, Mandalorian greatest hits. Okay. Yeah. so we go back to the foresty planet with you know, where Mando fell in love for 5 minutes and was gonna leave Yoda to be raised by a hot chick.
Yes.
Who almost took his mask off.
Cara Dune is at the bar and she's fighting, yes, people.
So he can, yeah, Cara Dune's being a badass because she is. And he convinces her to come along with him and basically like help him get rid of these people who are still tracking the child, because they're never going to stop chasing him. And he gets her to come with him by being like, hey, guess what? They're Imperials. And yeah, she's gives,
like, cool, I'll kill them
she
all.
She goes, son of a bitch, I'm in. And then we go, you know, our next greatest hit, we go back to, what the heck planet was that?
They never say it, I don't think.
Do they not say it?
I can't remember.
I don't know. We go back to Quill's planet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Nick Nolte, alien, has a name.
Quill.
And it's Quill.
Quill. Quill.
Quill. Quill. Quill.
Quill. Quill.
Quill. Quill. Quill. Yeah. It's Quill. So he goes back and he convinces the guy somehow who, you know, is like, I'm done, leave me alone, to come also. But we get the biggest, awesomest surprise. Our IG's back.
Yay!
Yay! And he's not mean anymore.
I'm like, they couldn't just get rid of...
No. The best voice in the entire series.
Like, they weren't going to just waste Taika Waititi like that for one episode and say, all right, goodbye.
No. Yeah, so no. So Taika Waititi returns. Basically, Quill picks up all... He finds the pieces when he goes back to see, you know, like the destruction which the Mandalorian has wrought, mm-hmm, upon this little enclave. Finds the IG, grabs all the pieces, brings them back through slow, laborious process. Gonna need a montage kind of thing. Rebuilds him and reprograms him to
he's
be...
He's a nanny!
Well...
He's Fran eventually, Drescher.
Eventually. He yeah. He gives him a fantastic Brooklyn accent, and can you imagine?
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, so he reprograms him. He's a good guy. It freaks the Mandalorian out because, you know, he's got a thing with droids. It's his thing. It's a thing.
It's his kink.
It's his thing. It's not that kind of thing.
No, it's not, but yeah. Which we eventually realize what it is towards.
It's like a phobia. It's a droid of, like, there's got to be a
word
for droid phobia. But Nick Nolte's like, oh yeah, okay. Well, sorry, Quill is like, okay, cool. I'm going to come along, but IG's coming with me because he's awesome now, and I'm going to make him the nurse droid for Baby Yoda, which is literally the best thing that's ever happened in the history of anything.
And he's very much a nurse droid.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. But he also brings along the, what the heck are those things called? Those, the little mini weird creepy horseback riding
things. Oh, the beasts?
The beasts. What are they called?
I think we said it in one episode and I cannot remember what
it's called. Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, he literally brings them. This is how much I love Queel, and apparently the Mandalorian loves him too, because he lets him take them. Alright, and then they you know, they're all packed up. He's got Kara, he's got Queel, he's got IG, he's got
Kara.
I said Kara first.
Oh.
And he's got weird, ugly horse things.
But then he also has what's his name? Carl Weathers.
And he gets Carl Weathers. We were getting there because he had to go to the planet first, right? Did he get him from the planet?
Oh, that you meant like after. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, no, he meets him on the planet. So yeah. Carl Weathers calls him up and they chit chat. And Carl Weathers is like, you know, I think you
get these should Imperial come out. Fucks out of here.
And these Imperial fuckheads are just messing with my jam and they're screwing up all the guild stuff. So why don't you come and take them out? There's not that many of them. If you put a crew together, we can do this. So they go over back to the planet. I can't ever remember planet names.
It is called...
It's like wannabe Tatooine.
It
is. It's like no, second night Tatooine.
It's a little more than... It's Navarro.
Navarro. Psh, second night Tatooine.
Stop it.
Yeah. So they go back there to the town that looks nothing like Mos Eisley. No. Definitely not. Well, sorry, actually. Before that, they meet up with Carl Weathers, who has a name that's not Carl Carga. Weathers.
It's Carga.
Thank you. And he's got a crew, too. And he explains, you know, I've got these guild guys with me, and we're going to get helped out. But, oh, no, they're, you know, going to double cross him. They're not shady at all. No, we're totally believing them. And Kara's like, okay, you're a dumbass, but sure, let's go with this. And then the guys get eaten by this weird pitch black,
you know what they're called?
Chronicles of Riddick moment.
Oh, but do you know what they are?
I don't know. They're like Minox from hell.
Yeah, no, they are Minox.
They are Minox.
Yeah.
There you go. They're Minox. I did not know Minox were that freaking horrifying.
Yeah, they are indeed.
Apparently, Minoc. They are. One of the dudes gets eaten by a Minoc.
He gets hurt. Carga gets hurt.
Carl Weathers gets hurt, Yoda. We get canonical force healing,
which we've seen before. People, so don't be all bitchy about it.
Yeah, and it was really cool, it was adorable.
Yes, and
he was like, "Oh, now I'm tired.
Now I sleep. It makes sense why they premiered this episode earlier before The Rise of Skywalker, because
they were like reminding everybody, hey, guess what? This is a thing.
It's a thing. Deal with it,
fuckers. It's a thing. Deal with it. Don't bitch about Rey. So Carl Weathers is like, cool, Baby Yoda rocks. I'm not going to double cross you anymore, even though I totally was going to.
He killed his associates.
He killed his totally not... backstabby associates, and they ride off into the sunset and live happily forever after.
The
end.
Yeah, nothing else ever happens.
Nothing else happens at all.
No, so basically after that, they take the child to the client, who is played by Werner whatever his last name is.
Werner Herzog.
There we go. And he pretends that he also captured Cara Dune and and the Mandalorian. Queel is tasked with keeping the child safe and taking him back to the ship. They're about to make the deal. They're about to, you know, hey, we're good.
Got the baby here.
All of a sudden, just blaster fire comes from nowhere.
Yeah. I love how Werner takes the call.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, oh no, but the baby is sleeping right now, and I'm like, oh, you're so easily fooled, you poor old man.
Oh no, the baby is sleeping.
Oh, it's sleeping in the pram at the moment. I can't show it to you.
It's very funny.
This is our terrible space German accent, by the way.
Yes. So basically, a bunch of these stormtroopers open fire. They
kill him.
They kill him with a bunch of
which was. Not what any of us saw. coming.
No, I'm like, oh, they just straight up murdered an Imperial contact.
Okay. Oh, cool. So the main bad guy is now dead.
Who I guess wasn't the main bad guy. He was like, you know,
shock and awe.
he was the bane of this season.
Yeah, it was a bait and switch, y'all.
And that means that Moff Gideon is Talia al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I'll buy that.
Yep. Basically, the bunch of stormtroopers just open fire on the bar. Everyone takes cover. Ermagerd, help. And then we see a TIE fighter land in a very cool way, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We never seen a TIE fighter with wings fold up.
Yes, we have. See?
Have we?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. They totally do that. They fold.
But we've never seen it happen in, like, live action before.
I don't think we have. Oh, okay. I know it's canonical. I've definitely seen it. Maybe it was a video game I saw it in, but I know I've seen it.
I've never seen that before. That was very interesting.
Maybe that was in my fan fiction. I don't know.
So basically, this person named Moff Gideon arrives, demanding, obviously, to have the BB. But the BB is not there.
Nope.
The Mandalorian puts out a transmission to Quill.
Big mistake, because apparently nobody can tap into your communications in this world.
Saying,
right?
You know, take the baby, take him to the ship, fly away, go away, do something. And sadly, two scout troopers intercept that call. And in the process of capturing the child, they kill Quill.
Yes.
It's very sad. They killed Nick Nolte.
It's very sad.
Those troopers are just bastards. So as my
daughter says after seeing this episode, she's very small, and she loves the Mandalorian. It's her favorite thing in the world. We watched that episode. It went to black. She turns to us, and with like total seriousness, she goes, "He has spoken his last words."
Oh,
right. Oh, I was like, "Oh, that's so dark. It's so dark."
Does she need counseling after this season?
She might.
Like, that's something I thought of.
Yeah.
Not little, wow. Not
7-year-old child, yes.
That's not okay.
It was fantastic. It was great.
Oh, boy.
I was very impressed and also amused.
You're like, I'm impressed, but also, are you okay?
But are you okay? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, so Quill, in all of his awesomeness, and all he wanted to do was settle down on his peaceful planet, gave it all.
Yep.
Gave it all for the baby Yoda.
He spoke for the last time. God, that's so sad.
The last time.
God,
I know.
That's dark.
It's so dark. It's so sad. Oh. I feel so bad for him. He went through all of this shit in his life. But
he said that he would gladly, you know, be with the Mandalorian. So, you know, he did it, you know.
No, he was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Exactly. So before we get to our season finale topic, our discussion for episode 8, which is promptly called Redemption, we are going to take a small commercial break. So we will be back after these commercial messages.
Recently on the Heroes Podcast Network, Echo Station.
Well, what's the main planet that Endor, the forest moon of Endor, it's a moon. So there's a major planet, obviously, that it...
Is the forest moon of Endor? Is Endor the actual planet, then?
See, isn't that confusing?
Yes.
Is it the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is it the forest moon called Endor?
Kaiju Curry House.
It got to the point where he started climbing the Empire State Building, and my mom is like, he's not gonna die, is he?
Oh, no.
My mom doesn't know shit about these films, but anyways, it was just like, Mom, this doesn't end well for Kong. And she's just like, I can't watch the rest of this. Turn it off. I'm like, you can't get to this point in Peter Jackson's King Kong 2 hours and like whatever many minutes later and not watch the end.
Screen Heroes.
The nipples just were confusing to me because they just make no sense.
That is our clip, by the way.
But I mean, male nipples are kind of confusing anyway. So,
right? Like, well, they serve true. Zero that's purpose.
True. Do you think that was the point he was trying to make?
It's a much deeper message. Yes.
Is Batman and Robin a heavily
an allegory,
social allegory?
Yeah.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
All right, welcome back. So for those tuning in again, I should say, I don't know. It's not like we're on TV. I don't know why this is.
No, wait, like for those of you just joining us.
Just joining us, even though they've been listening to us hopefully for the past, you know, whatever, 30 minutes.
40 minutes.
We're talking about The Mandalorian, the season finale called Chapter 8 Redemption, directed by Taika Waititi. So,
which is kind of obvious.
Yes. When you watch it. This episode, I think, was the best episode.
Oh, it was so good.
Of the season. That's my personal thought. Yeah. Talking to other people as well, they kind of came to the same conclusion.
Yeah. Oh, I lied. I actually haven't seen this episode more than once.
But you did see it, didn't you?
I did see. Oh, yeah. Obviously, oh, thank God. I saw it. I texted you about it.
That's right. But I'm thinking like, oh my God, am I about to spoil this whole entire thing right now?
That would be cool. I'm going to watch it live on air, guys.
Right. Here we go.
No, I did not, because I was, so it came out Friday, I was at my in-laws in LA.
That's right, you were in LA. But you didn't see it until like 3 days after, right?
No, because I was going to go to my brother-in-law's house, and we were going to watch it with them, and that just didn't work out, and then we had like all these holiday parties to go to, and my in-laws, well, I have an awesome, great TV setup. They are, bless their heart, boomers, and they still have cable, and that is it. They just have cable. So we had zero capability of streaming anything, and I was not about to watch this on my phone. And then I started to get desperate, and I downloaded it, and I was gonna actually watch it on the plane on my phone, and then I also thought, I just decided not to do it, and I watched the Tolkien movie, which was not a bad decision at all.
Because you watched the episode when you came back home, didn't you?
So I didn't watch it until Monday night.
That's right. And recording
this, as I was getting deliriously sick. That was the last thing I did. I watched The Mandalorian. I ate like half a salad, and then I slept for 3 days.
I mean, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
But I feel like I have a pretty decent recollection of what happened, because it was a really good episode.
So I'll start us out then. I'll intro us into the episode. So basically, these two douchebag of scout troopers.
Oh my freaking God.
They have captured Baby Yoda, and they are taking him back to Moff Gideon. But they are stopped.
They're like the space equivalent of, or, you know, a definition of jarheads. Just jarhead military idiots. Good.
Yes.
Also, one was Jason Sudeikis.
Yes, a Kansas City native. Haha.
Haha.
So they go and they're about to deliver the Baby Yoda to Moff Gideon, but they are stopped by the patrol guard outside saying, hey, you shouldn't bother him, because like basically he just shot someone for interrupting him. And
he's like busy right now.
So he can't really take your appointment.
Yeah.
Just kind of showing how just like ruthless and just evil this Moff is.
He shot a guy because he didn't like the way he breathed.
Yeah, or something like that. It was very like, okay. Okay, yeah. Susan. So, in the meantime, Baby Yoda just, you know, is moving around in a sack, and out of nowhere, I'm pretty sure it's the Jason Sudeikis scout trooper, just...
I think they both do it.
They both do it, but the first one, I think, is him, and just wails on it. And I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
I had to pause it for a second, because I'm like, what?
Ooh, son of a bitch.
I'm like, they what? So, yeah. I'm like, and so I keep on playing it, and the other stormtrooper's like, well, maybe we should see, and maybe, you know, and because
maybe you should look at what's inside.
He goes, it hasn't moved in a while since you hit it. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God, my baby.
So he opens the flap, and little Baby Yoda's just like smiling at the people, and the other stormtrooper goes like Gucci Gucci goo him. He bites the finger, and then you see him just wail on the top of his head. I'm like, that's a soft spot. You can't do that.
Damn it.
You can't do that.
Hit the baby.
And it's funny because my roommate watched The Mandalorian 2 and she loves Baby Yoda. And so she watched about 2 or 3 days after me, and I'm in my room, and all of a sudden I hear her scream, you fucking bastard, don't hit the baby.
Exactly.
And I'm like, she's watching that episode.
Yeah.
So.
And this whole exchange was hilarious because both of the people playing the troopers were are comedians. Yes. So they're interchanged. I feel like a lot of it might have been like ad-libbed.
Also, but it's very Taika Waititi dialogue.
It is very Taika Waititi too, yeah. And then they start like trying to take pot shots and stuff.
And they can't hit a single thing.
They can't hit it. They can't. Neither of them can hit it. It's
and one of them like shakes at the gun and you hear like the paint can like yes. sound.
I was like, what is he doing?
It's so funny. He's like, maybe there's no blaster cartridges in there or something. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah, I'm like, what is he even? Yeah, okay.
It makes up for the fact that they just wailed on Baby Yoda and keep on hitting him.
It's great.
But so the nurse droid, IG-11, comes to the rescue, kills the troopers, and I have never been happier.
They deserved it.
I've never been like happier to see a stormtrooper die in that moment.
It's like, you asshole, that's what you get.
So IG-11 takes the baby and rides into town in the most like badass gunslinger way I think I've ever seen come to a scene.
It was a Western on speed.
And so basically there's a standoff happening between Cara Weathers. It's Cara Dune, the Mandalorian, and Karga. Or Karga. I don't know. Yeah. These people need to... I'm just going to call her Dune.
It will be affectionately known as Carl Weathers.
Yeah, just we're going to call him Carl.
Carl Weathers.
So there's a standoff in between them and Moff Gideon. Basically, he's saying, hey, we're setting up a huge like machine gun turret, so if you don't come out in the next like 5 minutes, we're going to blow your brains out. And then all of a sudden, you hear like the speeder bike sound, and I'm like, that's a sound that's familiar. We know that sound. We like that sound right now. And IG-11 just comes in, both blasters just killing basically every single almost stormtrooper there, while Boy, also doing like 360 like turns so the baby doesn't get hit. And it was so, so cool and so good. And the music in it was really, really cool. So
just backing up a little. First of all, I didn't realize that it took so long to set up these guns. Like, okay. that doesn't seem practical.
Like, you can't just plug it in? Like, what the hell?
It doesn't seem on tech. Okay, sure, whatever. And then when the guy's like, I'm gonna give you... Was this the point where he was like, I'm gonna give you, you know, 11 hours?
Until nightfall, yeah.
I'm like, why? Why would you do that? you're gonna give him enough time to figure out a way to get out of there?
Yeah,
that seems so dumb.
But maybe he knew like there's no way out, like y'all can't leave, fuck you.
I don't know, but people are resourceful.
Throughout this whole entire standoff, you know, the Mandalorian goes out and fights. Cara Dune has her machine gun, she's fighting,
she's in her element,
which by the way, we find out the most interesting fact about her.
Oh my god, I was after this, I was like, I swear to God, if she dies, right. I'm revolting.
Okay, so tell the folks what we found out.
So Cara Dune hates the Empire. We know this. Cara Dune hates the Empire for a very specific reason. Cara Dune is from Alderaan.
Yay!
Which is literally the coolest thing that came out of that.
Yeah, because he says Cara Dune. Imperial or Rebel shock trooper from Alderaan.
Of Alderaan. And it's like, oh, my jaw drops.
I know, my ears perked up. I was like, hello?
I know.
I did like a Scooby-Doo thing. I'm like, hello?
Right. Yeah. And you know that she knows Leia.
Oh.
Because all the survivors of Alderaan know each other.
There's
like a whole support group. They meet up. No, it's like in the comics. Like, they all meet up.
Oh, yes. Now, I don't know. Is that in the canon comics or is that in the old comics?
Yeah. No, that's in the new Leia comics.
Okay.
No, that's canonical.
Whole thing is...
There's a statue and stuff, like... Yeah.
Because she's probably about the same age as Leia would have been around that time. Maybe, like, a few years younger.
No, I'd say she's a few years older. Because this is only 5 years after...
Jedi, yeah.
Return of the Jedi. And, okay, so... They're supposed to be like
Leia was
20 in the first.
She was 19 in New Hope.
Okay, so they're 19, and it's 5 years between each, right?
No, it's the old timeline I thought was
3 or 5 years.
I think it was 3 years between Empire and New Hope, and then a year between Jedi and Empire. So,
Oh, is it only a year?
I think so.
I always thought it was like longer. I always figured it was much longer.
And, I don't know why. Well, it, then,
maybe that's not right.
It could have been changed too, for all we know, with the comics. So we don't, I don't honestly know how long.
I don't know. I would say that by this point, Leia is probably late 20s, early 30s.
I agree. So okay, so Kara, I can see is probably like in her mid to late 30s. Yes.
Yeah, they're about the same age.
So I could totally see her like being trained as like one of Leia's personal guards.
Right. How cool would that be?
Like on Alderaan, and then, you know, shit happens and she doesn't get trained, and then, you know, everything. But anyway, that's my headcanon. Yeah. But we also find out the Mandalorian's name, which we did reveal in a previous episode, but is now confirmed as Din Djarin.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, it's a name.
It's a Star Wars name. It sounds very Star Wars-y.
It's not like, I don't feel like it's particularly memorable. Like Cara Dune has like a nice ring to it.
Right. Yeah. Just Din Djarin. They kind of put like a few D's and J's and and together. Like
throw some consonants together and
that's his name.
Star Wars name. Ta-da.
So throughout all this, basically, you know, and then we get a really cool shot of a flame trooper.
Coming in. That was cool, right?
I loved his helmet design. I loved the helmet itself. We should also
mention a lot of troopers from old canon, from games, from new canon, stuff that we haven't stuff that we haven't seen in a while. It was really cool.
But it's also mentioned with the troopers as well. A good portion of them, they did not have the budget for stormtroopers, so the 501st came in and supplied a bunch of troopers for this episode and episode 7 particularly. So, you know, well done.
There's some insider gossip on that, and it's not as warm and fuzzy as you think it is.
Oh, it isn't.
Yeah, but I'll just leave that there.
Oh no.
Oh no. Oh, let's just say, as a former member of the SoCal Garrison, they're not the.
What you gonna say?
There were some lovely people, but some, you know, they let the ease of Hollywood access go to their heads, and kind of lose sight of the whole charity part of the thing a lot. And
and we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
User interpretation.
Yep. You can follow the leads. It's on the internet.
Yep. So okay. Well. Okay.
There you go. Anywho.
So basically, the flame trooper, he goes in, he's gonna burst them all into flames, and then who stops him but Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
He just like basically force crushes the fire, throws it back at him, blows him up.
Throws it back.
And he's like, what? Come at me. What? that's not what he says, but whatever.
That's what he was thinking.
He's like, someone hit me earlier this morning. I'm mad. Come at me, bro.
It's gotta get out the aggression.
Yeah. So he just burns someone alive. So eventually they make their way down to the sewer. Where they meet the armorer, and she finally gives the Mandalorian his sigil.
Oh yeah.
Basically, it says.
For a second, I forgot that happened.
Right. It's basically saying, you know, world's best.
Kind of important. Yep, that's what it says.
Yep.
And you can't convince me anything differently.
Nope. She also gives him a jetpack. Finally. Yep.
So what was it called?
Have you done the Flight of the Phoenix or something like that?
Yeah. So all of the, I've noticed that like all of their tech has like bird references so far.
Oh, that's true. They do. That? Yes. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
So she gives him a jetpack, says, you know, I can't go with you. I'm going to stay here and fight. And she does fight.
And then she does.
And she's really, really
cool.
She's
a badass.
She fights with like, a hammer and like a pinchy thing. I don't know what they're called. It's a hammer and a pinchy thing.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what a thing is called.
It's called hammer and pinchy thing. She fights. Hammer everyone and knows. Pinchy thing. It's a hammer and a pinchy thing. So she fights off all the stormtroopers. She melts one stormtrooper completely.
She shatters this guy's helmet, which was really cool.
She does some very cool stuff. Then presumably also, she gets away.
I'm pretty sure at this point there is 0 point 0 point to stormtrooper armor. Mm-hmm. Other than like,
I mean, yeah,
messing with people's vision and making you look kind of intimidating. There seems to be 0 points.
It can be pierced by little Ewok,
little arrows and spear shits, and yeah.
There's no point.
No,
just to look shiny.
Just they're just trying to make a point.
Yep,
that's it.
So they basically escape, and then there's like the lava chute that they go down.
Yeah, the river of lava.
The river of Hades, basically.
Yes, yes.
The lost souls. They're
crossing to the underworld now.
Yeah, Styx. The river Styx.
And then we get the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Are you talking about the droid?
The droid. Wow. So there's this R2, like this ancient R2 unit, who is you know, the river Styx driver of this lava boat that they managed to push in. And they think it's dead because it's been there for God knows how long. I don't know. And then they hit it or something and it comes to life and it freaking stands up like a daddy long legs mated with R2.
It's a very disturbing image. It's
so disturbing. It's just super uncanny valley. Never ever should have happened.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's very creepy.
It's weird. And then he rows them along because that's what he does. That's what the creepy asteroid does.
Yep. And it has arms too.
Oh my God. You know what it does? He was like R2 Slenderman.
Ooh, that's an interesting image that I don't like right now.
Ah, creepy.
But yeah, that kind of disturbed me too. Cause he like beeps like R2, but then he like just stands straight up. I'm like, the fuck are you?
Nope.
No, that's a hard no.
No.
Hard no. So eventually they figure out that the Empire's waiting for them, and we lose our like second favorite character in this episode. Yeah, in a
literal blaze of glory.
Literal, yes.
So IG-11. They come to the mouth of the cave, and Mando can see that there's an ambush waiting for them, basically. So they stop the boat, and IG goes full on Nurse Droid for the second. Oh my God! You know what? We completely skipped over.
I just realized
the other amazing IG part.
I know, I just realized what we skipped over too.
Yep. Rewind. So before they even got down and met with the armor,
by the way, so
yeah, it is late, and I'm battling a sinus infection, and
Oh,
well, we unmask the Mandalorian.
Yes, and it's Pedro Pascal.
To be specific. Spoiler alert, it's Oberyn Martell, who finally learned to wear a helmet.
Yes.
Yeah, and then was like, no, I'm never taking it off again.
Yeah, no, I keep on, please.
Yeah. No, so he got super injured during this firefight.
Yes.
Before the whole
going to the sewer thing,
fire blast thing, yeah. All that stuff. I mean, like, the reason he blasted it is because somebody was trying to hurt his daddy. So exactly. I think that's, like, why that happened. So he's dying. He's got, like, internal bleeding and shit going on.
He has a head boo-boo.
Yeah, he's got a head boo-boo. IG-8's like, you're not going to live. I need to nurse you. And he's, you know, with his droid phobia, don't you touch me, blah, blah, blah.
We do get the full flashback also with the whole Clone Wars happening.
Yeah, so we get full flashback of why he's afraid of droids. And so we go back to these little snippets of that we've had of him as a child on what we had presumed was Mandalore. Turns out it's not Mandalore.
Nope, it's a planet.
No, it's just some random planet.
And then we get the rest of like the Mandalorians coming in to save the day. And that was
Cool. So they're being attacked, and then the Mandalorians come in and they save the day. And this kid gets put into this little box, and then his parents die because these droids, these giant like super menacing apocalypto,
it's a super battle droid,
X-Men droids, come out, blow things up, and they're about to kill him when the Mandos come and they save the day. So that's how he becomes a foundling.
And now Baby Yoda is also considered a foundling for him too, but that's
But so IG's like, well, I need to work on you, and he's like, you can't take my mask off, that's it, it's not coming off. And he says, you know, it can't, no one can see, no living being can see me without my helmet on. And IG is like, well, duh, dude, I'm a droid.
And then he just, like, takes it off for him.
Yeah, and so everybody else goes. He sends them away into the sewers. And so then IG takes it off, and we get which should have been like really pasty. I haven't seen sunlight in a billion years, Pedro Pascal.
But he's very contoured and very tan.
Very contoured, very tan, and just a little beat up.
So he measures a Bacta spray, basically. We should also mention the fact that we gloss over this too, that the armorer says you need to take Yoda, baby Yoda, back to like his people, to his race, to these sorcerers. Like, are there more Jedi?
Oh yeah. So she mentions that, like, you know, she talks about how the Jedi, the wizards and stuff, were basically like the mortal enemy of the Mandalorians. Which we know from Mandalorian lore.
Mm-hmm.
Or you should, if you're paying attention. and she's like, and until then, he's your baby.
Yeah.
You're his daddy.
Until then, he's your foundling.
He is yours. Treat, you know, this is the way.
And bye-bye.
We get the whole Mandalorian, the Mandalorians are not a people. They're a...
Is it a culture?
It's a creed.
Creed, that's
culture.
It. Something.
The creed? Did they say creed? I feel like they said creed. Maybe they said creed. Anyway, yeah. It's a way of life.
Yes, they say
it's not a people. Yeah.
We're not a people. It's a choice. So, okay. Fast forwarding back to where we were now.
All right. Back to the, we're coming out of the tunnel. We're going to get ambushed. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. We're all going to die.
Kaboom.
IG-11's like, nope. Remember, I still have my number one protocol, which is I can't be captured. And if I can't withhold my protocol to saving the people I'm nursing, then I'm gonna blow up.
Yep. And
so he does.
And he's also
not just like with them. Like he goes and basically into the middle of the stormtrooper ambush and he's like, hey, what's up guys? And they're like, what the hell? And then he blows up.
But it's funny because the Mandalorian's like, no, you don't have to. And he goes, don't be sad. And the Mandalorian's like, I'm not sad. He goes, you are sad. I can hear it in your voice. And he just walks off.
No, like, I literally analyzed your voice and it is sad.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not sad. I'm not crying.
I'm not sad. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
There's just some dust in my eye plate.
I'm a tough man.
No, that's fantastic.
So he goes and blows up. And we think the day is done.
It's done. But we're done. We're going to get out of here. Yep.
So Moff Gideon is in his TIE fighter.
Moff Gideon's back.
And the Mandalorian's like, I could trap my new toy. And so he has a jetpack, he goes flying, he hooks onto the TIE fighter, disables it. Basically, you know, we all think that Moff Gideon has died because there's a huge fireball and crash and kablooey. Yeah.
Carl Weathers and Cara Dune are off and they're like, hey, let's get together and work together.
Yes.
So that stuff happens.
So Cara stays on the planet, Carl Weathers obviously stays on the planet. One funny thing, where Carl Weathers goes to Baby Yoda, he goes, do the hand thing, baby, and then he just waved
the hand thing.
That was the funniest thing I've ever do the hand thing. He goes, hello,
yes,
I'm waving. So, you know, we all think that okay, Moff Gideon is dead. The Mandalorian takes the baby and, you know, flies away again. And then Moff Gideon, by the way, the Jawas are salvaging this wreck, like, 2 minutes after he crashes, which is the funniest thing.
They're like, you turn off the lights in your kitchen and the cockroaches come out like within half a second. There they are.
They're kind of like the raccoons of like Star Wars. They're the trash people.
They are the trash people.
So
the trash pandas of Star Wars.
All of a sudden, we see a very familiar blade poke out of the hole.
This was great. No, so it pops out and I'm like, oh sweet, it's a vibra blade.
Oh, I knew exactly what it was when I saw it.
When it first came out, I was like, oh, totally cool. Vibroblades. I love Vibroblades. It's one of my favorite random throwaway Star Wars weapons.
Right.
Yeah. And then it totally comes out, and we all go, whoa.
And it's holding the Darksaber. And last time we saw the Darksaber, I believe it was in Maul's possession.
Probably.
Because Maul was still on Mandalore.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
So I'm going to assume that something happens in the Clone Wars that is going to be a throwaway to the Mandalorian.
Yeah. So there's going to be a tie-in when that comes back.
Because obviously Dave Filoni is a part of both shows.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we might see Moff Gideon as...
Oh, that would be cool.
...a Republic officer.
I want to see animated Moff Gideon.
I can totally see him, not obviously as Moff Gideon, he'll be like, you know, Corporal Gideon or something like that.
Yeah, somewhat, or yeah,
but
cool.
if we hear that name Gideon in the Clone Wars, it's like, oh, we know who that is.
Yeah, that would be neat.
I think
so. There we go.
Yeah,
that's it. That's how it ended.
Whoosh. Great season finale.
Yep.
We didn't rank the episodes though, so real quick, what do you rank episode 6?
Oh crap. 1 to 10.
Yeah.
So 1 to 10. I'm gonna give my like 4.
Oh damn. she real low.
I don't know. Maybe I probably need to watch it again.
I gave it a six.
You know what?
Half.
I absolutely enjoyed it. Yeah, I'll put it.
No, you copy. Like, no, you could like stay at 4.
No, I'm not. 5.5.
Okay.
5.5. I wasn't going to take your score.
Okay.
I think 4 is unfairly low. Because I did actually enjoy watching it while I was watching it.
Right.
It just, in terms of adding anything to the season, it doesn't add anything to the plot, which, like, again, isn't a problem. It's not a problem.
No.
I wasn't that invested in it.
So, okay. Episode 7, what do you rate it?
7. Oh my gosh. Like a 8.5.
Really? That's high.
Yeah.
So
well,
for me, honestly,
I feel like we
really
got so many.
Well, everything, oh, well. So lots of cool stuff happens, but like nothing really significant happens until like the last like 15 minutes.
We got so many interesting tidbits. We got Cara Dune is an Alderaanian. We got Moff Gideon introduced, you know, German Imperial guy whose name I cannot remember.
The client. That's what his name is, just the client.
The guy with the cool medallion.
Oh, he has a cool medallion.
Dies. Guy with a cool medallion dies out of nowhere. Nobody expected that.
Okay, so now I'll give it like a 7.5 then.
We got Queel being a badass and dying for Baby Yoda.
Okay, I stick with my 7.5.
there's a lot of good things happening in this episode.
All right, then the finale. What do you rate it?
Oh, 9.
Okay, same here.
Yeah,
a solid 9 out of 10.
Solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
totally great episode.
So that wraps us up, guys, for the Mandafezzo.
Yay!
Thank you for coming on this journey with us. We appreciate it a lot. Obviously, the Mandafezzo will come back for season 2 sometime in 2020. We can be
probably like 9-10 months from now.
Yeah, be rest assured that there will probably be some kind of trailer or announcement or panel or all the above at Celebration, which
Celebration.
Chris and I are still going to. Woot woot!
Yay!
So we are eagerly preparing for that right now. But that wraps us up here. Don't forget, we are still on our winter hiatus, for the main, like, you know, Echo Station stuff that we do. We'll be back more probably around February, because February 17th is the official date of the Clone Wars coming back.
Yay!
So, we will either start the season off with the Clone Wars, or we will probably do maybe, a character profile. We'll do something. Obviously, you know, we will alert you guys to,
yep,
to that. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Echo Station Cast. That is our main Twitter handle. That's where we put everything out usually. Follow me at IR Turner. Follow Chris at The Dirt Witch. Go to heroespodcast.com to find all of our back episodes of The Mandafezzo, all of our back episodes of Padme's Closet, which we are finishing up as well. Don't forget that. Do you have anything to add, ma'am?
No, that's all of it. Miss talking to you guys.
Okay, well, that's it.
Glad to be back.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. We will see you guys, we'll talk to you guys next time. But until then, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.